An old preacher man said one time, you'll never know He's all you need till He's all you got. And I thank God for, thank God for the times that He was just all I had. Hey, man, but I had it all. Glory. Glory. And I'll sing one song. I'm interested in hearing what the man of God's got to say. But I'm thankful for that lighthouse. Amen. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's seas. When I'm tossed about, it sends out a light, light that I might see. And the light, it shines in darkness now, will one day lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would sail no more. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I can clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this shield be? Everybody that lives around me says, tear that old lighthouse down. Big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing around. But my mind drifts back that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yeah, the light from that old lighthouse standing on the shore. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. He has shone a light around me that'll one day lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would sail no
Job 19:13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very verily estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despise me. I rose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in thee? Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first to ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin. I pray, Lord, that nothing should be between thee and myself tonight. Lord, you have said that you cannot and you will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that you'll purge us from all sin. Thank you for this privilege to be in your house tonight, for these that are here, for the wonderful music that's lifted up our hearts in praise to you. Thank you for reminding us where you brought us from through your grace. I pray your blessings upon this church. Thank you so much for it, for its testimony, its influence for Christ. And I pray that you'll bless this dear man of God and his dear wife as they labor, not only here, but all the labor that you've given him. I pray that you'll bless his labor for thee. Thank you for every man of God that's here. I pray your blessings upon them in their respective places of service. I pray now that you'll accomplish your divine purpose in this hour, that you'll help us travel the divine distance you want us to go. We are well aware that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes to help us. I pray that you'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic and hindering power and spirit, that the Word of God may go forth in its power tonight. And Lord, for those who may be among us that are strangers to your grace, may this be the hour of salvation. I pray, Lord, now that all that we do and say will be to the glory and the praise of God. May there be no parading of the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise and honor and glory. And all that you're pleased to do for us, through us and in us, we will give you the praise. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. You notice especially verse number 28 of our text, the scriptures that I've just read. But you should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Now, of course, you'll always understand scripture better if you keep it in context. There have been entire denominations that have been started just by taking a portion of the Bible out of its context. And Job on this occasion is answering Bildad, the Shuhite, on two occasions. He had accused Job of being a hypocrite. He blamed all Job's problems on hypocrisy. Bildad compared a hypocrite to a tree that had been torn up by its roots. And he used the tree to describe a hypocrite. They may flourish for a time, but at last they'll wither up, dry up, even down to the root. And so he implied that because Job was dried up, That is, he'd lost everything, but evidently he was a hypocrite. But Job said, I'm no hypocrite, and I've proved it by your own argument. The root of the matter is found in me. He said, and I'm sure, words to the fact to your disappointment, but to my delight, God lives in my heart, for the root of the matter is found in me. It's true that I've lost my leaves, fruit, and all that, but way down deep in my heart is the root of the matter. God lives in my heart. And so, Job said, the root of the matter is found in me. Now you know the root of the matter clearly defined. Saving faith is laid down with absolute certainty. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In our scripture, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. All my hope is in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. And when we're in heaven, when we're safe in Emmanuel's land, we'll have to exclaim, Jesus led me all the way. Saving faith is certain. I know, Job said, that my Redeemer liveth. For salvation is a divine revelation. And unless He, the Holy Ghost, shall open a person's heart, they will remain in total darkness and blindness. And so, Job said, the root of the matter is found in me. Faith never deals in speculation. It never deals in theories. Always on facts, not opinions. Real faith must have the priceless pearl of certainty. It's not a salvation. Saving faith. It's not a leap into darkness. It is a leap into light. It is a leap into the everlasting arms of God. And Job looked to the Redeemer to liberate him. Job had asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And he asked the question, where could he find God? And through divine revelation, in those dark ages of long ago, Job, through divine revelation, had discovered the Redeemer. Amen. And he knew that that Redeemer lived in his heart. And after the skin worms destroyed his body, yet in his flesh, he would see God. My name is in the book of life. Far better than having your name listed on society's register of who's who. Far better than being a member of the country club. Yeah. It's to know that your name is recorded in heaven. At the great white throne we read, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And it is with blessed assurance that we can know that our name is in the book of life. I do believe that in the book of life, there's a space, a place for every person. I think had I rejected the grace of God at the great white throne judgment, should I have rejected His grace and stand there as a condemned sinner, I think that I would have been shown an empty space where my name could have been. But I want to praise God. My space is occupied. My name is there. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know that my name is recorded in the book of life. Christ is not some babe in Madonna's arm. He's not an idolatrous Christ on a Roman crucifix. He's not wrapped in the winding shroud of death. He lives and He walks among His people. And for all practical purposes, Job had lost his wife, he lost his family, and he says even the servants was against him. And even the children were against him. And in spite of the fact that he lost their fellowship, he had not lost his Redeemer. And though the body that Job lived in, though the worms devoured that body, Job knew that his Redeemer would vindicate him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. After my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. When I start down toward the river of death, and the voices of friends and loved ones grow faint, and the lights of life become dim, then there is good news. There is someone to lead me safely across into Emmanuel's land. The foundation of God stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I don't think, Brother Mike, I'll ever forget that night when God saved me by grace. But if I get some terrible disease and do forget, it still won't matter. The foundation of God stand assured, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I think about Wesley Grant, Brother Wesley Grant up in Asheville, a great black preacher, well known, used of the Lord. And a young man came to his church one Sunday, made a profession of faith, said the Lord saved him. But soon was back out in the world, and one night was killed in a bar room in a fight. The time came for the funeral. The church was filled to overflowing. And Wesley Grant got up and looked at that crowd of people. And he said, I know why you're here. You're here to see if I'm going to preach this young man and call his name. You're here to see if I'm going to preach him into heaven or hell. But he said, the truth is, all I'm going to do is take him down to the river, and whoever's supposed to pick him up will come get him. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. He has paid my sin debt. And according to the Scriptures, He died. Christ died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you think about the relationship of the Redeemer. Christ is our kinsman Redeemer. Those words were used to describe a special relationship that the Redeemer has taken up with men. Now if a Jew had been cut off from his land and lost his property, it was the responsibility of the next of kin to restore that land. And if that person had suffered murder, and had been murdered rather, it was the responsibility of that kinsman redeemer to take revenge. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Now the Hebrew law, of course, would not permit anyone other than the next of kin to recover that lost estate. And had not Jesus been born of the royal house of David, He could not lawfully have participated in the redeeming of the nation of Israel. And had He not become the Son of Man, had He not taken upon Himself a body of flesh and bore our sin upon the cross, there would be absolutely no salvation. But our Lord is absolute. He is absolute in justice and justification. He is absolute in condemnation and compensation. He is absolute in retribution and in recompense. He is the last Adam, the second Adam, who has restored what the first Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. For by one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so that death hath been passed on all mankind. But the Lord Jesus came, took upon Himself a body of flesh, and lived in that body 33 and a half years, and took that body and hung it between heaven and earth, and made salvation, made redemption possible through His shed blood. Now this is the only planet that the Lord has ever visited to carry out the drama of redemption. Little planet Earth. Compared to the other planets, it is a small planet. Just a speck of dust. But Jesus did not go to Mars. He did not go to Venus or Pluto or whatever. He came to planet Earth and was on this planet. He died for our sin. It was on this planet, outside the city of Jerusalem, that He arose. It was on this planet that He ascended back into heaven. And thank God it is into this planet that He is coming again. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And the Lord Jesus will receive His own. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our intercessor. He is there when I need Him, always. What a friend we have in Jesus, a brother born for adversity. Now I'm grateful that my hope is in Him and that I can call upon Him. Now if I had to depend on Buddha, who knows where old pot-bellied fat Buddha is? And if we could ever find him, they'd have to cart him up, load him up, take him across Asia, and fly him to North Carolina. By the time old Buddha got here, I wouldn't need him. The problem would already overwhelm me. But I have a Savior who ever lives to make intercession. And right now, He mediates for me. He is my intercessor. We have a high priest that is passed beyond the clouds into heaven itself. And right at this moment, He makes intercession for us. He is our kinsman redeemer. And I can say as Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. And after my skin worms, destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. A kinsman redeemer. And then the root of the matter is instructively described. Now the root is absolutely essential. It's essential to the life of a tree or a plant. And without a root, then that tree is nothing but a pole, a piece of timber. It can be a certain type of tree without branches. And of course at certain seasons without leaves. But it must have a root if it lives. The trees around us have begun to bud and to bloom. The flowers are blooming because it is springtime. During the winter, the leaves were gone. They looked dead and barren. But in reality, they were not dead because there was a root. And no matter what we may suffer as the people of God, if God lives in your heart, then you have the root of the matter found in you. If a person has Christ in their heart, they may be destitute of many things, but they're not destitute of divine life. Job lost everything, and it looked awful dark and bleak, but he got in a spiritual elevator and went way down in his heart. And good news, the root of the matter was found in Him. God still lives in my heart. In spite of all my loss, the root of the matter is found in me. You remember that Samson, when finally Delilah had gotten the secret of his strength, finally had got him to reveal the secret of his strength, the devil's barbers, the Philistines were standing by and came in and shaved the head of Samson, punched his eyes out, and put him to grinding in a mill like an animal. And see Samson every day as he goes around and around at that mill. But we read, howbeit, his hair began to grow again. And these Philistines forgot to check his hair. Maybe they were Armenians and thought you could lose salvation. But they didn't check the hair of his head. But every day when Samson would feel his head, feel those bristles of hair begin to grow, hope would encourage him. And we read that howbeit his hair began to grow again. Because the strength of Samson was in his hair by the divine providence of God. And there came a day, of course, when he broke down the temple, destroyed more of the enemy in life than in death. God lives in an individual's heart. If they're truly saved, they may get away from God. And they may have to be dealt with the chastening hand of God. But if the root of the matter is found in you, it will be true spiritually. Your hair will grow again. Howbeit, his hair began to grow again. For way down in his heart was the root of the matter that was still found in him. And Job said, I've lost everything, but the root of the matter is found in me. God lives in my heart. I know my Redeemer liveth. That's not arrogance. That's blessed assurance. And if Job in those far off, dark, misty ages in Arabia, without the life that you and I have, when light and immortality had not yet been brought to light, could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How much more should we, as the people of God, who've been given the great life that we've been given, know that God lives in our heart. The root of the matter is found in me. And then the root is comprehensive. Life is in the root. Everything is in the root of a plant. In the wintertime, you may not even see the invisible plant at all. But in the spring, it appears again. It was all beneath the soil because that plant had a root. And if you're saved, the root of the matter dwells in you. Christ is in your heart. The plant was in the root and is in the root. Everything that is virtuous is packed away in Christ. And in that seed of faith is everything that we possess as a child of God. All found in that little seed of faith. The root of the matter. And from our first holy longing toward God until our ultimate glorification, when we shall be like Him, all that we are and all that we ever shall be that's good is wrapped up in Jesus Christ, who is the root of the matter that lives in the believer's heart. Romans 8 reminds us, for whom He did foreknow, then did He also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, those He predestinated, He called, and those He called, He justified. And we have been elected by the divine purpose of God to be just like the Son of God. And we are conscious that all things work together for good to them that love God and the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them did He also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It is God's plan to make us just like Jesus Christ. And the only hope that I have of that ever becoming a reality is the fact that the power of God will bring it to pass. The Lord who knew me ere He laid the mud chills of the world. The Lord who plans to make me like His darling Son. If He has predestinated us to be like His Son, then He has called us. And if He has called us, He has justified us. And then He shall glorify us. Now the apostle uses the word glorified as if it is in the past tense. You and I are not yet glorified. We still live in decaying and corruptible bodies. But as far as God's concerned, we're already glorified. As sure as He foreknew us. As certain as He plans to make us like His darling Son. As sure as He's called us. As certain as He's justified us, He will glorify us. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You know Job's investigation. Job got past all the circumstances. He got past his feeling. And down in his heart, he discovered the root of the matter is found in me. God still lived in his heart. His three supposed friends came and for 7 days just sat in silence and stared at him. Now that'd be a lot of help, wouldn't it? But Job said, the root of the matter's found in me. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Theodore Woosley, who was president of Yale University in those early years when it was actually a Christian college and was established for the training of preachers, the preaching of the gospel. And while he was president of Yale University, 5 of Mr. Woosley's children died from a terrible disease within a matter of just a few hours. All 5 of them died in the same day. And that great educator followed all 5 of his children to the cemetery. But as he walked in the cemetery following those 5 caskets, he was overheard quoting Psalm 38. I was dumb, for I was silent. I opened not my mouth, because Thou, Lord, didst it. Job had lost everything, but yet he knew that God still lived in his heart. And he knew that the root of the matter was found in him. Think about Job's inspiration. Now when you get it settled, who you belong to, there is peace that is indescribable and joy unspeakable. And when you get it settled that you belong to Him, it does not matter if all the hoot owls in the world screech at you, if the little sweet bird of amazing grace sings in your heart, who cares what anybody says? Job, in spite of the criticism of his friends, in spite of the withdrawal of his wife and even the children, Job said, the root of the matter is found in me. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He was inspired by the sovereignty of God. Job had lost all his possessions. One day the sons of God were meeting and the devil showed up. He always does. It'd be a sorry devil that wouldn't fight God or the work of God and the people of God. Sometimes through the years people have said to me, we've never had any battles. We've never had any problems. And I certainly am not advocating problems. They come plenty enough without looking for them. But on the other hand, who wants to be a part of something so sorry the devil wouldn't fight? You can rest assured, if there's a work going for God, the devil says, I will oppose. And he will oppose.
You're right.
When the sons of God were meeting, God said to the devil, hast thou considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and upright man. And the devil said, I've been watching him. I think he's serving you for what he can get out of you. The devil didn't say, I think. The devil made the accusation. He's just serving you for what he can get out of you. Take away his possessions. He'll curse you and die. He don't really love you. He's just serving you for the benefits. Job, the devil got permission to afflict Job to take away his possessions. Did you know the devil cannot lay one finger on us without divine permission?
Yes, sir,
and
right.
So the devil, with his new permit, goes out to take away Job's possessions. The Sabians killed his oxen and his servants. The fire burned up his sheep and his servants. The Chaldean band took his camels and servants as well. The strong wind blew down his house, and all 10 of his children were killed. All 10 of them. And the sons of God were meeting again. And just before that meeting, I imagine the devil somewhere saying to himself, as he waits out in the cemetery, here's this man that's lost everything, even 10 of his children. No man can bear this. No man can endure this. At any moment he's going to curse God and die. But through Job's tears he said, blessed be the Lord. The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken away. The sons of God met again. The devil came to get his permit renewed. And was asked the same question. But the devil said, if you'll afflict his body, touch his bones, afflict some physical pain, he'll curse you and die. And so God said, put forth thy hand and touch all that he had, or the devil said rather, and he will curse thee to thy face. And God gave the devil permission to go out a second time, and this time to afflict the body of Job. See him set in a pile of ashes with an old potsherd, a broken piece of saucer, a scrape of those oozing, putrefying sores. And his wife evidently just taken out a large life insurance policy. And she cried out and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And it looked like, sure enough, the devil was going to win this time. All of a sudden, see Job lay aside that old broken piece of saucer he had been scraping sores with, and see him climb up on the devil's chest and crow like a rooster. Yes. Say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Did you know that the devil cannot go one degree past what God allows him? And the furnace of affliction cannot be turned up one degree more than God allows. Some years ago, I was in Greenfield, Indiana, in a meeting, and early one morning, I was walking down the street of that little town, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came a Doberman, big black Doberman, and his teeth looked like the keyboard of a piano. I jumped halfway to the moon, fell in the bushes. But about the time he got to me, his neck jerked back. He was tied with a chain. And then I felt real brave. And I said, all right, big boy, get me now. The devil cannot go one inch farther than God allows him. And the devil could not do anything more than God had permitted. And then there was the sight of God that inspired Job. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. He looked through the telescope of faith and saw the virgin birth, saw our Redeemer, saw his vicarious suffering and his victorious resurrection and his glorious return. And he said, my Redeemer liveth, and his feet shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. Now when death is finished with us, we won't be able to tell those who have the most beautiful bodies from those that have the most deformed bodies. Yet in my flesh, Job said, I shall see God. In spite of all that he had suffered, in spite of all his affliction, Job had that blessed assurance that his Redeemer liveth, or live. For way down in his heart was the root of the matter. God lived in him. You may go to the palace of kings. You may visit the bridal chambers. You may go where health, strength, and wealth and the fame of this world are enjoyed. But you'll not find such peace as you will find in that room where the death dew is on the brow of the saint and the glory of heaven is shining in their face, and they have the knowledge that their Redeemer liveth, and that they shall behold Him. In old John Bunyan's allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian's companion, Hopeful, got down to the dark river, Hopeful said to the Christian, "Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom. It is good."